Congregation, the scripture reading this afternoon is Deuteronomy 4. We read the verses 1 through 9. Deuteronomy chapter 4, we read the verses 1 through 9. And there we read God's holy word in Deuteronomy 4. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish anything from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God, hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. So far the reading of God's word. The text for the sermon this afternoon is verse 7. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses looks back to the journey of the people of Israel through the wilderness. For 40 years they have wandered through the howling wilderness. But all those years, every day again, the Lord has supplied them with manna. They drank water flowing from the rocks. Their sandals had not worn out, and neither their clothes. The Lord had cared for them, and now he has brought them to the border of the land of Canaan. And before they enter the land of Canaan, Moses addresses them for the last time. And the book of Deuteronomy consists actually of a great speech that Moses delivers to the people of Israel. He is now 120 years of age. He is ready to depart and to be with the Lord. And the Lord moves Moses to speak one last time to the people of Israel to encourage them. And we see that in the words of our text. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? So we observe here encouragement for Israel. And we see their privilege, their presence, and their prayer. So encouragement for Israel, we see their privilege, their presence and prayer. So we are here in a service of administration of holy baptism. The Lord adopts us and our children as his covenant people. And that covenant means that the Lord holds out to us his true and sincere promises. And those promises are laid upon us in the form of a gift. And that gift is forgiveness of sins. That gift is to be adopted as children of God. That's what the form says. And that's fully based on God's word. So God the Father declares that he adopts our children as his children. And God the Son declares that he washes them from their sins. And that the Holy Spirit declares that he is willing to apply what they have in Christ to their hearts. That's very rich. And that's why we confess that if our children die in their infancy, that they will be taken to be where the Lord is. Because God has laid upon them the remission of sins and has adopted them to be his children. But Scripture clearly teaches us that we cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we are born again. And so therefore, that is the work of the Holy Spirit applying unto us these rich gifts. We need to be born again. And so baptism is not something to rest upon. Oh, I'm baptized. So, that's fine. Well, it is a blessing. But that as such does not secure salvation. As we grow up, we have to learn to see who God is and to see who we are. Our eyes need to be opened. We need to be converted. We still have that old nature. And those children of that old nature that wants to deviate from the Lord. And so we need the powerful operation of God's Spirit. That's regeneration. And as a fruit of regeneration, there will come forth faith and repentance. Because of that powerful working of God's Spirit, renewing our hearts, touching it, then that person desires to walk in God's ways. There will be a repentance, a turning away from sin, a turning away from sinful attitudes, and a walking towards the Lord. And that's a looking unto the Lord Jesus for salvation. Because baptism, I said, is not a resting ground you can rest upon. But it's something to plead upon. There may be some here this afternoon who are wondering, can I ever be saved? Look to your baptism. There you see the divine guarantee that you can be saved. He is the promising God. Well, what a rich privilege. When you think about this, you hardly dare even believe it. You hardly dare say it. And yet this is what Scripture says. Being baptized in the death of Christ. Being buried with Christ in baptism. That's the scriptural language that backs this all. And so the people of Israel, they were a highly privileged people, because these matters also were applicable to them. God had declared from Mount Sinai, I am the Lord thy God. He declared that they belonged to him. And therefore they could expect everything they needed from him. And therefore Moses awakens them to realize who they really are and what your privileges are. What nation is there so great? And that's something for us too. To wake up. To see the privileges. And how foolish the people of Israel were. After 2 years they were already at the promised land. And they didn't want to go in. Because all the walls are so high. And there are giants there. And we are like grasshoppers before them. And no, we can never go in there. No, no, no. So they reasoned by their own abilities. It's very wrong to do. We should reckon with God's abilities. And although I am nothing and can do nothing, and I am so often against the Lord, yet I know that He can fully deliver me, and therefore my eyes are towards the Lord. For with Him there is plenteous salvation. But the people of Israel didn't do that when they came after 2 years already at the promised land. And then they had to go back into the wilderness for another 38 years. And now Moses doesn't want them to do the same sin. And so he is encouraging them. What nation is there so great? And verse 8 says, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day. The judgments, the laws of God were very good, were very wholesome, very just, very blessed. That's why Israel was blessed. Now the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Philistines, they didn't have those laws. But you have those laws. What a privileged people you are. And it counts also for us today. We know the Word of God. There are many outside who are raised without a Bible. A generation has risen in Canada through the public school system. That generation is unaware of the contents of the Bible. And that's very scary. That's dangerous. Because if they don't know the laws of the Lord, that spells injustice. But we have been blessed knowing the statutes and the judgments so righteous as all this law. Calvin comments here that without the knowledge of God, all the knowledge of the world is basically smoke, meaningless. It's even beastly, Calvin said, for they do not know the truth. And that's indeed the case. They don't know what they are living for. They don't know the basic questions of life and death. But we may know them. What a blessed people we are. What nation, what people is there so great? And that's not, that greatness is not because of the people, but it's because of the God of these people. Many people, they think that if we do our best in life, that after this life we will go to a better state of life. There have been surveys among people. And I forget the exact percentages, but the majority thinks there's a heaven. And the majority of the people think they have a pretty good chance of going to heaven when they leave this life. And why is that? Well, because they have done what's right. They don't see any sins really in their lives. They just have done their best and they think that therefore they will inherit glory. But the Bible says clearly, works righteousness will not save a person. We can be in church also doing works righteousness. I've had this and that and I've done that and therefore God will, well, I did it pretty good. But that's not the case. We can only be saved by the full, finished work of Christ, and not even a scratch of our nail can be added to that finished work of Christ. It's only Christ, and Christ totally, and nothing of us. And at the same time, Israel, they did not pay attention to the word of God. Many didn't. And how is it with us? Do we pay attention to the word of God? Is the Lord at the center of our lives? Is his word determinative for our conduct? If that's not the case, then all the privileges we receive will one day testify against us and increase our condemnation. If only we would realize that these words spoken to Israel are applicable to us. What nation, what people is there so great? What a rich privilege. The Lord God united his triune name to Derek and to Annie. What a rich privilege. What happened to those little infants brought to the Lord Jesus, that the Lord Jesus took them up in his arms and he blessed them? That happened this afternoon to Annie and to Derek. It happened. It's the same thing in essence. Because the Lord Jesus sent his servant to administer in his name. What great privileged people. And the people of Israel, they were called to enter into communion with God. And that took place by means of the sacrifices and by means of the sacrificial priestly office. And we are also called to enter into communion with God. And Matthew Henry comments here that communion with God is the highest honor and the greatest happiness that we are capable of in this world. And when you know this communion with the risen Christ, there may be many things that are lacking in your life. You may not be so well off as other people. You may have a daily cross to bear. But never forget this great privilege God has given you. And he will take care of you because you are united to him in communion with him. What privilege that you may speak to the living God. And that he is listening attentively to your cries, to your petitions, to your prayers. What privilege. What people is there so great? And why was Israel so privileged? It was because of the presence. And the presence is the presence of God in their midst. Because God was with them, they were liberated from Egypt. They went right through the Red Sea. They were maintained in the wilderness. The Lord gave them His law. His law was perfect. And living according to God's law, they would be a wise and understanding people. And when the surrounding nations would observe these laws of Israel, they would say, these laws are just and righteous. These laws are beneficial and compassionate. And that's all because of the presence of God through His Word. He was in their midst. In their midst by means of His Word. And when you are at home and you are reading Scripture, God is in your midst with His Word. That's His presence in your home, in your family. And because God was present among Israel, they cried to Him when they were thirsty, when they were hungry, when they were attacked by enemies, and the Lord delivered them because He was in their midst, ready to answer their requests. His eyes were open to their need. And Israel knew God's presence. I just said through the sacrificial service, God was present. And the same counts also for the New Testament church. We don't have a temple here anymore. We don't need sacrifices anymore because the Lord Jesus entered into the heavenly sanctuary once and for all. He there displays the perfect sacrifice. And there He prays for His people who flee to Him. And through this mediator, the Lord Jesus, God is present with His people. He's not far away. And that's why a worship service is a holy gathering. God is present with us. And that's why we display reverence in our midst, because of the presence of God here in our midst. This is holy ground during the worship services. Outside the worship services, this building is just stone and brick and mortar. But during the worship services, God is here present. That's why we open the worship service on behalf of God, saying, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus in the communion of the Holy Spirit. That's why God is here present. And because the Lord God is present, He is present with His Word. And the Lord God invites you to enter into communion with Him. And that's especially for baptismal parents a blessing, because you need to be in communion with the Lord. The Lord is willing to be present in your lives, because what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God? That's His presence. But then we also see prayer. Because the text says then, the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for. That's prayer. Because if the Lord declares He is our God, and if His laws are so blessed and beautiful, and if He is offering communion with us, what should our response be? It should be prayer. And that's what the text speaks about. What nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? Israel was allowed to call upon upon the Lord. They may ask everything they stood in need of. And it counts also for us. And don't we have many needs? Many needs. We need to see our guilt and our sins. We should see where our bosom sins are. We need an awareness of the highness and the majesty of God. We need love of God poured out in our hearts. We need the powerful working of God's Holy Spirit. We need to learn to thirst after the Lord and His righteousness. We need to be instructed how to live, what to do, what not to do. And that's all the implication of God's presence amongst us, that we should pray and lay the needs before the Lord. Pray. But in order to pray, we first need to listen. That's what Moses is telling the people here in this portion. In verse 5, he explains that he taught them the statutes of the Lord. In verse 6, he says that they should keep the statutes and commandments of the Lord, for this is your wisdom and your understanding before all nations. Israel first had to listen. And we also need to listen before we can cry to God in prayer. We need to listen, and to listen, therefore, we need to listen to God's holy word. We need to be instructed. The Lord is speaking to us. And we need to listen to God's word very personally and as a family. And then we realize that we do not live according to God's word, and that we need God's Spirit to renew us. And we need God's laws to be inscribed upon our hearts. It's not only that we listen with our ears, but that God's laws are carved into our hearts. And that's when we receive a new heart, a new life in Christ Jesus. And that's our basic need, what we may pray for. And when the Holy Spirit inscribes God's laws in our heart, then we will listen. And that person who was very unwilling becomes most willing. A person who was not interested becomes very eager and moved to live for God. Our hearts must be renewed. And so we are called to prayer. That's what Israel had to do when they had to enter the land of Canaan, where there were enemies mightier than they were. And we also face enemies mightier than we are. But we may pray, and the Lord will strengthen. And that's what faith is all about. What is faith? Well, let's put it this way this afternoon. Faith is prayer, ardent, heartfelt prayer to the living God. And the whole drift of this discourse of Moses was to persuade the people to keep close to God and to His service, and not to forsake Him for anything else. And that's our calling as well. There are many idols in our culture, but we're not to listen to them. We are to stick close to the Lord, to His service. Our own willpower is utterly insufficient. We need God in our lives. Therefore, we need prayer. And Moses is explaining here that the Lord has always heard the needy when they call upon Him for mercy. He wants the people to realize this, that they may call in all things to the Lord. In verse 9, he is warning them not to depart from the Lord in their hearts. They were to take heed to themselves and to keep their souls diligently. And Moses knew they were a stiff-necked people. He had experienced so much misery from the people, so many disappointments he had to go through. He knew they were a sin-sick people, and I and you, congregation, are not better. If you lift up a piece of metal and you let go of it, it drops to the ground. It gravitates to the ground. We gravitate to that which is sinful in the sight of the Lord. And that's our biggest problem in our interpersonal relationships, in our families, in our marriages, in our homes, at work. And so we need the Lord to lead us, that we would take heed to ourselves, that we would keep our souls diligently. And the Lord says to Israel, have I not done mighty works among you? Did I not deliver you out of Egypt? Did I not lead you through the Red Sea? Did I not set you apart from the people of the world? Has the Lord not done mighty deeds amongst us? He gave us His Son, and His Son arose from the dead. He conquered death, and He poured out His Spirit, and His Spirit works. The Lord has given covenantal promises upon us. And by His grace, you were maybe born into the Christian church. What a mighty deed of grace. Or maybe you were led into the Christian church. What a mighty deed the Lord has done in your life. Does the Lord receive honor for what He has done? Or do we think it's normal we're born in a Christian family? The majority of Canadians were not born in a Christian home. Has the Lord received honor for what He has done in your life? Or are you keeping your distance? Keeping aloof from the Lord. Israel did not have ears to listen, did not have eyes to see. In spite of so many blessings, many did not believe God. And after 2-3 generations, they were committing whoredom and idolatry. It's terrible. And then Israel actually bypassed all the heathen in wickedness, because the other nations never received such revelations of God. But Israel had received so much instruction, so much teaching. They were examples of God's miraculous power. And when they depart from God, they are more foolish than the heathen nations. And it's with us the same. We can be in church gospel hardened, that we don't really need the gospel anymore, that we just want God to help us in our problems, to give us health when we're sick, and to bless us. And we will go to church and give our offerings of money and pray. But we take it for granted. Our sin is not a problem to us. There's no turning to the Lord. And we have our reasonings. But then we also are more foolish and sinful than the people of the world. They live in sin, but they don't know the God of the Bible, and we do. And so we are called to ardent and fervent prayer, to cling to this God and Savior, to lead us through this dangerous society, to lead us through this dangerous life with Him, with the Lord. You can jump over a wall, Psalm 18. Prayer. That is necessary. Prayer. Because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus. The Lord is willing to hear and to save. For what nation is this so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? Amen. Shall we pray? Good doing Lord, we humbly thank Thee for the many privileges given to us already in this service, and for Thy condescending grace and mercy, and for the rich offer of Thy love and Thy communion. O Lord, again we commend unto Thee these baptismal parents, and wilt Thou bless them and their families. Bless, Lord, their loved ones, their parents and grandparents. And wilt Thou give, Lord, that also through the generations Thy kingdom would be expanded. Wilt Thou look upon us in mercy. Be with us this week. Wilt Thou guide and lead us. And wilt Thou bring Thy servant and his wife back at the appointed time, and bless also the congregation in the coming Lord's days. Watch over us, we pray. Dismiss us with Thy gracious favor, for Jesus' sake. Amen.